I want to start with a question tonight.
Do we answer this one?
You can. Not
rhetorical.
Rhetorical, thank you. It's completely left my mind. Why are you here tonight? Brother Cody Green.
Because my parents put me in a car and drove me here.
So mom made you be here? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, well, you can say that. You can be honest.
Right.
Yes. Do we have a different answer? Sister Tammy Green made Cody come. That's why he's here. It's okay, Cody. We know the truth. Brother Cody, my three children are here tonight as well because their mom makes them. Hopefully it progresses. Anybody else have a reason why you're here tonight? Why are you here in this room with us tonight?
To learn.
To learn. Okay. Brother Tyler.
I'm not married yet.
We don't know.
Was that a prayer request?
Or a testimony.
All right. What I would like to do, is there any other amazing contributions besides Tyler's?
I would.
To Kirsten.
But Kirsten is upset.
Yes.
Because I need to be.
Okay. All right. Brother Steve, why are you here tonight?
Because I want to be.
Okay.
Really?
Awesome.
Weirdo.
Oh. All right. We're going to do a spiritual allegory tonight for a few minutes. Does anybody know what an allegory is? Right. It is a story in which people or events are used as symbols to stand for a spiritual lesson. Hopefully you'll figure it out. If you don't, I'll explain it. All right, and Sister Kirsten has so graciously consented to be the guinea pig, so to speak, maybe. Anyway. I'm going to use her. She doesn't have to do anything except for sit there and smile, but I will use her name. So Sister Kirsten came to Young People's tonight, and there was a reason why, but she wasn't really sure. She just really felt like there was a purpose for her coming. And so she came into the room, and she thought, you know, my youth leaders would know what this purpose is. I just feel this impression. There's something I'm supposed to do. And so she comes up to me, and she says, Sister Sherry, what is the purpose for me to be in here tonight? There was a reason about it. There's some reason why I'm here, special. And I said, well, you know, Sister Kirsten, I'm really glad you asked because there is something I need you to do. I need you to get a hymnal, get a songbook, and I need you to look up the song, What a Friend. And I want you to go to the choir room, and I want you to sing this song. So, Sister Kirsten, I said, Sister Kirsten, this is very important. It's very important that you do this. She don't really understand the why, but I've given her I've told her what she needs to do. So Sister Kirsten thinks, you know, I really probably should look nice for this because I'm going to go sing a song. And there's people over there. And I have a better outfit out in my car, and I think I'll go out to my car and change. So Sister Kirsten goes out to her car, and she comes back in. And she notices the wind has messed up her hair, so she's got to go to the restroom and fix her hair because she really needs to look nice because she's going to go sing this song. Then she's got to find the songbook. And she looks, but she looks around, and I wonder if it's in that blue one that the Millers made, or maybe it's in this black one, or maybe it's a hymnal, and so she spends time finding her song. She finally finds it, page 366, okay? Now, Sister Kirsten, I've heard this song before. I've sang it before. What a Friend. But I don't know what key I should sing this in. So Sister Kirsten thinks, I need to practice. So she goes over here, Sister Victoria, would you please help me find a key? Let's find out what's the best key for my voice. My voice needs warmed up. I think maybe I need to make sure that it's where it needs to be. And they're singing, and she says, you know, if Tyler and Darsha would sing this with me as a trio, it probably would sound better. So she calls Tyler and Darsha over, and let's sing, and they practice, and no, never mind. I'm just going to do a solo. Thanks anyway. Yeah, forget about that. Finally, Sister Kirsten and her songbook starts her journey to the choir room after all this, okay? But she forgets her purse. So halfway across the audience, she comes back and she gets her purse. She meets Sister Jessica. Oh, I have to tell her something. It is so important. I meant to tell her that earlier tonight. And so she stops and her and Jessica have a conversation. Finally, Sister Kirsten gets out of the youth room heading for the choir room. And there is this really nice looking guy out in the hall. He's been kind of coming around, and Sister Kirsten noticed, and she was really hoping he would notice her. And he says, hi. Oh, can you believe it? He's talking to her. It's so exciting. She's been hoping that he would pay attention. Now, you know, he's not saved, but, you know, he's here at the church building. That's surely got to count for something. He's telling her she looks nice tonight. Okay, and the face is lighting up. And he tells her, I heard you practicing. You've got an awesome voice. And Kirsten's just, oh, maybe he's the one. God's going to save him. I know it. And then he says, where do you sit during church? I'd like to sit with you. He is going to stay for church. Well, I just know this has got to be the right one. So finally, she says, okay, now my seat's over here. The whole time he's delaying her, isn't he? He's delaying her. Now Kirsten finally gets away from him and realizes she can't find her songbook. Where's the songbook? Goes back to the youth room, get another songbook because she can't find the first one, and she's got her songbook. Now, as she's starting to leave the youth room, Brother Steve's starting to speak, and his message is really interesting. She thinks, I'll just wait a few minutes. I just want to hear a little bit of it. I have plenty of time to go sing my song in the choir room. And so she waits in the hallway through the speaker out there, and she listens, and then she realizes she'd better get going. So she starts heading across the audience here to get to the choir room. Now she can finally sing that song her youth leader requested her to sing. And she gets to the choir room, and guess what she finds? Everybody's gone. It's empty. She missed her opportunity. Her entire purpose for coming to youth group tonight, which was explained to her by her youth leaders, she missed it. Now, Sister Kirsten didn't know, but Sister Sherry, her youth leader, did know that in the choir room were three people that needed to hear this song really bad. One was a sinner who was seriously counting the cost. Number two was a saint who is very discouraged, thinking about just giving up. They've had all they can take. They can't handle it anymore. And number three was somebody who's been sick for a long time, and they're not seeing any end in sight, and the pain is just really getting them down. And this song was going to greatly help every single one of them. The sinner was actually going to be prompted once again to give his heart to God. The discouraged saint was going to find strength to go on another day. And that afflicted saint was going to feel impressed to come down to the altar and get anointed and prayed for. She had a great purpose. She was going to help three people in an awesome way. But because she was delayed, because she was distracted, the sinner is still unsaved. The discouraged saint is still on the verge of giving up. And the afflicted saint is still sick. God had a plan for that sinner. See, God, if I can just get them under conviction one more time, I want to call them to the missionary field. They have an amazing gift for working with people. And I'm going to call them to the missionary field. And that discouraged saint, he can work with five-year-old boys like nobody's business. He's going to be a Sunday school teacher if he can just get through this valley of discouragement. And that afflicted saint, he's going to become a pastor. He has suffered. He understands. But that purpose, Sister Kirsten's song, was going to help each one of them get down the road to what it was. Perhaps now they'll never get there. We don't know. This whole allegory came to me because I was reading a book last week or 2 weeks ago, and I come across a quote. And it has been in my mind. I find sometimes thoughts that simmer are kind of like a good pot of chili. They're better the longer they cook. And this one has been simmering in my mind ever since I read it. So here's what it is. The song I've come to sing remains unsung. I've spent all my time stringing and unstringing my instrument. And I thought, how sad. The whole purpose, whether it was tonight's youth group, or the life, my life, the whole purpose, my song that I was supposed to sing, I never sang it because I kept spending my time on things that had distracted me, that weren't really that important. So why are you here? Now I'm going to change that question. Not here in this room, not here in Newark, Ohio. Why are you here in this life? What is your purpose? Psalm 139 and 13, and I like it in the Amplified, and I'm going to read it there. It says, for you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. Did anybody notice something a little unusual going on tonight?
Jessica's up here knitting.
Jessica's been knitting, yes, because Sister Sherry doesn't know how. So she's been knitting. When God made stuff, like the light and the animals and the trees. How did he make them?
Out of nothing.
How did he make them? He spoke. Let there be. Let there be. When God made people, how did he make them? He formed them out of dust, right? And Psalmist said he knitted. Now, has anybody in here ever knitted or crocheted? How quickly do you put something together? Takes forever. Takes time. Takes energy. Takes thought. All right? So can you imagine? So Sister Jessica, would you sit right here with your knitting? I'm going to have you keep knitting because I can't. While I'm talking. Yes. Come on, Sister Kirsten was a willing victim.
Serve your purpose.
Brother Paul's next.
Serve your purpose.
Yes. Brother Paul's my next victim, so he can get in line. All right. So Jessica's going to be what we think of as God, is he's knitting, or he's forming.
Am I
going
to be tall?
You're going to be tall. And so one day God begins to form Paul.
Yeah.
He says this is going to be very careful.
Very careful.
You be careful or I'll change my notes. A very talented young man. His name's going to be Paul.
Oh,
his parents will name him Paul, I think, eventually.
No, Rufus.
Eventually his name will be Paul. All right? I couldn't remember your first name. So. He's going to have some challenges in his life. I'm going to knit a few talents in here into this beautiful young man. He won't really even know they're there till he gets older. He starts to discover them. And God is taking time to form Paul. And he's putting a lot, maybe he took more time for some people, I don't know. God says not he'll have a great sense of humor. He's probably going to need it. All right, maybe too much, Andy says. Okay, God got carried away maybe, I don't know. And God says, I have this amazing purpose for Paul. He's going to be blank. See, Paul has to go ask his maker. Sometimes Paul has to go ask his maker multiple times, what is your purpose for my life? Why did you make me? But it's all there as God was forming it, all right? Now there's going to be distractions. As God's knitting, he's thinking about Paul. Some distractions are going to come along the way. Try to keep him from the choir room. That's my allegory. That's not what he's, all right? Try to keep him from his purpose. But if he'll stay close to me, I can just see God as he's knitting and he's thinking about me. He's thinking about you 25 years before it happens. It's going to be real. There's going to be a really low place in Sister Sherry's life, in Paul's life. But if he'll come talk to me, I'll help him through it. He'll be such a better person for it. He'll have strengths and talents. God's thinking about it because God did not speak you into existence. He formed you slowly, thoughtfully. And each stitch takes time. I don't know. God's probably perfect. I've dropped stitches. I can crochet. I've dropped stitches and I got to pull it out. Go back and do it again. A lot of thoughts going into that project. And God says in Jeremiah 29:11, you know this one well. In the New Living Bible, again, I just like to sometimes look at a little bit different version. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans, he's not going. Paul is, I'm telling you what, he's going to wreck his car. And he's not putting nasty, and he's going to get an F. Continually in math, and God's not putting a bunch of bad thoughts in there. Plans. What does he say? I know the thoughts. I know the plans. Plans for your well-being, not for trouble. To give you future and a hope. See, just as Kirsten had to ask her youth leaders, what's my purpose for coming tonight? Brother Paul's got to seek God's face. What's my purpose? There can be a bunch of little purposes as you're getting along to the reason why. What it is God's calling you to be. What does he want you to do? All right? Previous services prepared Sister Kirsten. See, we sang that song many times. She probably knew that one by heart. She probably didn't need a songbook. Her youth services previous to tonight prepared her for this service. You can sit back in your seat if you'd like. Thank you, Jessica. All right? Many years of your life, right now, you're still in the prep stage. Sister Jessica went to college for culinary. And she's taught me a few things. One thing that speeds up, I don't always do this, but I like it, is to prep everything ahead of time. So if my dish has got onions and green peppers and it's got some mushroom and some cheese, she'll put out bowls on the counter and put all that stuff in there, preparing it for that awesome, amazing souffle or omelet or whatever it is we're going to make. So right now, you might be in the onion chopping stage or the green pepper chopping stage, right? You're in preps time. And you might think, this does not make sense. I mean, anybody just chopped a bunch of onions? Unless you know what the final product's going to be, you're just bawling and there's tears and it's a little painful and you really don't understand the purpose of you chopping multiple onions. If you've ever done salsa, I mean, it's just batches and batches of onions. And so you're in the prep stage. Lots of things are going into you that you don't understand right now, but there's an amazing final product in the end if you'll let God work as he wants to. So we have a beautiful Bible story, one of my favorites, of Esther. And Esther, no doubt, was in the prep time during her bringing up years. She was brought up by her cousin, right? But she had to do some things that she, I'm sure, did not want to do. I'm sure she didn't want to marry that king. I just, that's my personal opinion. I can't give you scripture, but I kind of highly doubt it. We had a lesson in here one time about it. He was probably a lot older than her. History says he was voluptuous. That does not even sound attractive in a man. I'm just sorry, it doesn't. I think he probably was a little pleasantly plump or not pleasantly, okay? All right, she had to leave the only family she ever knew. We don't see her going home for Sunday dinner after she married the king, right? But she had been taught well. Her life had been preparing for what purpose was it? What was that purpose? Well, the scripture says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Could Esther have known? We believe she was forcefully removed to be part of this beauty pageant that was going on. Right? We don't see anything in the scripture that tells us that she volunteered and she was all excited. She was brought up that you were to marry Jews, not be unequally yoked. Right? So I can't believe that any thing that had been happening along these lines had been something that had excited her and made her happy. But she was being prepared for a purpose. It was an amazing purpose. Many commentators believe that if she had not intervened, or if God had not intervened, the entire Jewish race could have been wiped out. That was the devil's purpose, because Christ was promised to come from the Jews. And so the devil could make sure that promise didn't happen. Right? So you are being prepared for something right now. I think back when I was sitting in your chairs, back in that day, all the chairs went that way, right? I think they did for most of you too. Okay, I was sitting here as a young person, no idea in my mind ever that I'd be in front of you as your youth leader. But now, I'm almost 50 and I can look back at my life and I can say, that's why that happened. Oh, understanding. You know, hindsight is 20/20, they say. I can understand now why God was leading me to where he's at. I'm at now. But I didn't understand it at the time. Right? So there's multiple purposes why God has created you. But number one, we know he wants to have a relationship with you. While God was knitting, I already told you that, he was thinking about you. Right? I think about Brother TJ. God was forming him one time. Many, many years ago. And he says, you know, one of these days, TJ's going to talk to me. And I can't wait. I want to have a conversation with TJ. We're going to be good friends. I want to have a friendship with him. And God's thinking about this while he's knitting, while he's creating TJ. And God says, he'll have hard things in life, but I want him to come and talk to me. Kind of similar to what he said when he was making Paul. He loves every one of us. You know, the Bible says that he doesn't have favorite children, but he does have dear children. A dear child is an obedient child. As a parent, I know sometimes some children can be more dear than others. But see, God didn't create robots. That's what the animals are for. They do what they're told. God says, dog, you're going to bark. You know, you're going to do this. You're going to bite the postman. The dogs do what they're told to do. Right? But God made people and he said, here's what I want you to do, but guess what? You get to pick. Because I want to have a relationship with you because you want to. So I'm not going to make robots. I'm going to make you with a will. Right? Number two, so God, number one, God wants you to have a relationship with him. We're talking about your purpose. Why are you here on this planet in this life? Number two, you're here to serve God. Right? But the neat thing is, your plan to serve God is custom made. Nobody in this room has the same plan as you. God's got yours all planned out. I don't know about you, I'd love to see mine sometimes. But God knows you can't handle things ahead of time. For instance, when I was 23, if I could read in my plan that my husband was going to have a stroke, I couldn't have handled that. So God don't let you see that page till you're ready for it. But anyway, your plan is custom made just for you. Nobody else's looks like yours. Nobody else's purpose is exactly the same as yours. But you've got to check in every little bit. God, what's going on with my life? What should I do next? What class should I take this year in high school? Has anybody ever prayed that? You ever asked God? Okay, here comes the schedule around. You got to pick your classes, put them in order. 5, 4, you know, number one, this is what I want the most. Go home, have mom sign it. Have you ever said, God, what classes should I be taking? It wouldn't hurt. It would be a good idea. Because that plan that God has for your life could be helped if you take the right classes. I had a friend who didn't take typing. I know all of you know how to type. It's probably, you probably learn it before you go to school these days. She, to this day, has difficulty because she never took typing class. I think how much typing has helped me in many areas of my life. That might seem very simple to you, who all are brought up with computers ever before you ever go to school, no doubt, right? But she has been greatly hindered because she didn't learn how to type. So now my husband, did you take typing class? Yeah, okay, now that you mention it. Now, when God checks in with, when you check in with God, I'm sorry, God's going to give you some warnings. See, if Sister Kirsten would have come to me, I would have said, Sister Kirsten, here's the book. Here's the page. That would have saved her some time. I'd have said, you know what? Your outfit's perfect. Don't worry about changing. Don't. And you know, watch out for the hot guy in the hall. Let's go through this hall, Sister Kirsten. See, all these things I could have helped her to avoid these distractions. Sister Kirsten, this is hopefully not making you feel bad. You're being a very willing. Okay, good.
Not too close to truth.
All right. And then I would have reminded her, Sister Kirsten, we just sang that song. Your voice is fine. Sister Vicky will tell you the key because she's played for you before. All right? You're all warmed up. You know the song, and it's supposed to be a solo. Forget your friends here. I want it to be a solo because that's going to have the greatest impact. I could have saved her probably 20 minutes. Okay? And then if Kirsten could have went and sang her song and come back, she could have been back in time for Brother Steve's message. So when we check in with God's plan, because he knows that purpose that he has, things will fall right in place. It'll be for our benefit. But what is a check-in? What is it? How do we check in with God? Prayer. So we pray. How else can we check in with God? Read your Bible. And one more way we can check in with God. Be quiet and listen. Called meditation. Does anybody in here meditate? Meditate? Yes. The other day, I went out in my lawn chair on the deck, and I got very quiet. Just tried to empty my mind. Pretty soon, God began to tell me some things to take care of. God began to remind me of some things. He brought me a little lesson just for me. That's meditation. It does you a world of good. We are in a world that if there's not noise going on, there's a problem, right? If the radio's not playing, you don't have music, Pandora's on, you got something in your ears, you got something in your hand, there's something wrong with you. How in the world can God talk to you? How in the world can you find out your whole reason for being here? When you got so much stuff and noise that's distracting you, you can't. You can't. These distractions are sent to prevent you from singing your song, from fulfilling that purpose, the whole reason why you were born, the whole reason why. Again, there's multiple purposes along the way. God wanted me to be a mother. I know that. I'm sure of it. God wanted me to be a Sunday school teacher. Right now, I believe I know I'm where God wants me to be. Is there something else in the future? I don't know. I have to just keep checking in. I have to keep trusting him. But how sad to get to the end of your life and to have someone that needed to hear that song, that needed me to minister to them, to reach out, to be a missionary, to be something in some way, and I completely failed to do it. Number three, That's the third purpose. See, before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave something called the Great Commission. What is that? What is the commission? This. If I give you a commission, I want you to do something. I'm going to tell you to do something. But the Great Commission tells me there's only one. It's tell others. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then we go to Acts, right before Jesus is taken up, right before he leaves us. See, if I'm getting ready to go somewhere, probably some of the most important instructions I give my children are the ones I give right before I got the door. It's on my mind. Okay, now make sure that you take care of this and make sure you take care of that. And if you get this phone call, make sure you text me and here's how you get a hold of me. And that's what Jesus did. Right before he went back to heaven, we read some very important advice. He says, ye shall be witnesses. That means tell other people about me. In Jerusalem, Judea. He's very specific. I love that about God. He doesn't just say, go tell people. They need to hear. No, he says, start in Jerusalem. That's your home. Okay? So live for God in your home. And then I want you to go to Judea. All right? That's your city. So be a Christian in Newark. Anybody you can tell about God in Newark? Anybody you can witness to? Through, you don't have to preach a message. Just live it. And then Judea. How about Ohio? And then Samaria, the United States, and the whole world. So Jesus made sure it was all covered. So that's the Great Commission. So your purpose is to have a relationship with God, to serve God, and to tell others. Now that purpose fits every one of you. It's kind of like making an outline. But your specific purpose, you're going to have to start seeking God's face. Again, the song I've come to sing, it just, maybe, I don't know, maybe you don't hear it like I do, but it just brought tears to my eyes. I thought, how sad. How sad that as God's forming me. Now, Sister Sherry's going to have some challenges and talents, but boy, she's going to be able to do stuff for me if she'll just allow me to work through her. At the end of my life, as I meet him at the judgment, and he says, Sister Sherry, you didn't sing that song. I gave you everything available. I gave you everything you needed. You had an amazing family. You had an awesome church family. You lived in America. You didn't go to jail for owning a Bible. I gave you everything you needed. And all I asked you to do was sing a song. That's an allegory. Remember, I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm talking about your purpose. And it remains unsung. Have a check-in, young people. Have a check-in. The altar is a great place to do that. Don't be. I tell people when I work with you at the altar, if I pray with you at the altar, I've probably told you this. Do not be afraid of the altar. If it means coming here every single service, who cares? Now, I know at your age it's hard because your friends, you don't want them to laugh at you. I don't want you to laugh at me. But sometimes if the song is in my heart strong enough, if I feel strongly enough about this song, about my purpose, I'm going to do what it takes. And so if you need to have someone pray with you, someone to help you, if you're checking, you're having trouble, you're not sure what that purpose is, are you getting distracted? Is there a friend in the hall that you want to gossip with that's distracting you? Is there a hot guy or a nice-looking girl that's distracting you? It's not always sin that distracts you. A lot of times it's not, because the devil knows most of you are smarter than that. So what is your song? Are you preparing to sing it? What is your why am I here?